Let me first of all extend a welcome to you on this special opening service. This is a special time for us at the seminary, and we're glad that this congregation can be a part of this opening week and part of this special fellowship this evening. We do welcome you, and we trust that you will take more and more of the seminary upon your heart as we seek to minister for the Lord here in this place. Very informal this evening. In past openings, I've had other ministers come to give a word, and we'll do that again sometime, but I thought this evening I would just make a few remarks. I'm not going to preach. It's not my desire tonight. I think I spoke, Charlie told me, 70 minutes or so on that passage to the students on Monday. Just couldn't quit. So I'm not going to get started on that with you this evening. But there are some things that I want to share with you, some burdens that are on my own heart for the seminary here. And I trust, I say, that this congregation, that it's such a vital part of the ministry of Geneva Reformed, would have an increased burden and an increased interest in the work that we are doing here. So just some comments from my heart this evening. In a few moments, I'll introduce the students to you so they can stand up. You can see their faces, and you'll know more how to pray for them. But I want to talk a little bit tonight, very simply, first of all, about the place that the seminary has. It's a problem, and I am very conscious of this, that seminaries are potentially dangerous places. History provides many examples where the danger of seminaries has infiltrated the churches. For some reason, apostasy, false teaching, that fills the church in so many places in America today, that false teaching, that apostasy was spawned in seminaries and has made its way into the Church of Christ, so-called, right across this land. How is it? How is it that the Princeton of Charles Hodge has become the Princeton that is today? It's a far cry. Something happened. And I say there is a potential danger in seminaries when academics are elevated above spiritual development, where the emphasis upon reason over faith and the explanations of critical views and critical ideas are replaced with the authority of God's Word. And I say just the emphasis upon rational academics interferes with the spiritual development and soon plagues the seminary, and it's not long before that has infiltrated and affected the entire church. And I'm very conscious of the fact, whether we like it or not, how goes the seminary goes the church. That is true right across the board. That is true in virtually every area of church life. There is a very intimate and a very definite connection between the ministry, the life of the seminary, and the welfare of the church. And so, therefore, every precaution must be in place to keep the seminary in its place. And so as I speak here concerning the place that I see for the seminary, I am concerned that the seminary is kept in its place. Now, we're Presbyterians. We have those in our little student body that aren't Presbyterians. They know this is a denominational institution. They know that we are Presbyterians and we exist for principally the ministry of our denomination. These men understand that. They come with no agenda of their own. And we get along very nicely. But we are here as a denominational institution. and we are subject to the presbyter. There is a relationship, and this is part of what it is that will help keep the seminary in its place. The fact that we have a very definite and a very important relationship with the presbyter. It's one of the beauties of Presbyterianism, that there is the mutual accountability that exists on virtually every level of church life. No notions of independency. There is the interdependency, and there is that mutual accountability that exists, I say, at the various levels of the ministries of the church. And Geneva Reformed Seminary is a tool. That's all we are. We are simply a tool in the hands of the presbyter. I have made the statement here before at graduations, I think, appealing and referring to Warfield, Benjamin Warfield, the old Puritan, or the old Princeton scholar, rather, great man. But Warfield emphasized over and again that the primary responsibility for training men for the ministry was not the seminary, but it was the presbytery. That was where the primary responsibility for training men for the gospel ministry was to reside. And I think Warfield recognized, and it wasn't long after Warfield that we see the demise that was taking place at Princeton. I think he saw something and was quite aware of that potential danger that exists in seminaries that are not kept in their place. So there is a very close relationship that we have here with the presbyter, whose responsibility, I say it is, for the training ultimately of these men. Men called by God are placed under the care of presbytery. You hear that expression, we have students here, some of which are under the care of presbytery. Well, that means something. That means something. The presbytery takes the supervision and is concerned with the advancing and the progress that these men are making. They are under the care of that body, the watch care of that body, the guidance of that body, the supervision of that body. And we here in this seminary, as just a simple agency of that body, are keeping our eyes on these men, and it is our responsibility to give due accounting and do reporting as to what we see concerning the progress and the advance of these students. We see them on a day-by-day basis. But I say it's not primarily our responsibility. We have our role. We have a very important part in the training of these men. But ultimately, and I want to make that clear, we are Presbyterians here. It's the responsibility of that body for the ultimate training of these men. But the presbytery uses the seminary in, if you will, the mundane aspects of the ministry. There are mechanics about the ministry. There are mechanics about working in a church, about leading a church, about preaching, that the seminary has the responsibility of teaching, exposing these men to, giving them the opportunity to hone those skills in those areas. That's our responsibility. And I say it is a very important responsibility, one with which these men cannot live without in the ministry. As Presbyterians, we do believe in an educated ministry, so we do have a very vital role. But it's not the only role. The education that these men need, whether they're under care or not, is not going to be received here in the 3 years that we have them. We can teach them many things. And I hope we do. Many mechanics, and I hope we do. Academics, and I hope we do. But, bottom line, we can't do it all. It is the responsibility of the church as a whole to supervise, to guide, and to aid in the training. The presbytery has mechanisms in place to watch what I'm doing, to watch what this seminary is doing, to help keep this seminary in its place. We have in our new denomination a seminary committee, a committee that has been appointed by the presbytery, of which I am not a part. I am not a part of the seminary committee, but I am accountable to that seminary committee. Twice a year, I will give both written and verbal accounting to that committee as to the operations here, from every level of student progress to programs that I've suggested to new courses that I want to put in the program. I'm accountable for everything that I do. I have the responsibility, obviously, of the day-by-day operation, day-by-day and the planning of the institution, the programs that we offer, the scheduling of classes. All of that falls on my plate. But I don't do that as a maverick. I don't do that independently. I give an accounting twice a year and advice when I need it from this committee, who then in turn gives that report to the entire body. So we are the tool. All right. Understand that we simply are the agency, one of the agencies of the presbytery in the training of these men that are under care. As a servant of the presbytery, the seminary is also a representative of the presbytery, of our denomination. And this is something that I have been greatly impressed with these last few years, particularly as the Lord has been opening up more and more doors for exposure of the seminary. And as the seminary is exposed, that is exposure for our denomination. I've often thought that the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and Geneva Reformed Seminary are the best-kept secrets in North America. Well, that's not good. That really is not a good thing to be. I don't want us to be a secret. I want us to be known, and that's part of the difficulty that we have in our church planning. Our men go out, and they identify themselves as Free Presbyterians, and all they hear is Presbyterians, USA, and you a bunch of apostate Jew. They don't know who we are. They know nothing about us. Well, the seminary, I say, in these last few years has been used by God in, to me, a most remarkable way for bringing exposure to the world of fundamentalism concerning not only the institution. That's what's opened up the doors. But in so doing, to our denomination as well. In various meetings that I have been involved with, as we've come into association with these groups, I've had the opportunity over and over again, who are you? What is the Free Church? They've heard the name of Dr. Paisley, and that's all they know about who we are. And I've had the opportunity over and over again to give a testimony of why we are here in North America, what we are trying to do as a denomination, that we are fundamentalists, that we are separatists. Yes, we're Reformed. And I have never yet made an apology to these men. That we are Reformed, that we are Calvinistic, right down the line. They know what we are. They know what I am. But yet there has been, because of this, a fellowship that has developed with men that are fundamentalist, men that are separatist, men that 5 years ago would not have given us a second look, men that 5 years ago would not have given us a second consideration. I was thinking, you know, just the other day, once again, of the way my ministry has changed since I have come here. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that I'm beginning now my 7th year here at Geneva Reformed Seminary. That boggles my mind. Seems like yesterday when I came here for the first time, but I'm beginning my 7th year. Now I'm discouraged again. It's a long time. But I say, I see a change in the way my own ministry. When I was at BJ, I was very happy to stay in my little office, in my little cubbyhole. And if I never saw the light of day except to make to the classroom, that was fine. That's all I wanted to do. I had no interest in exposing myself to those that knew I was there as that Calvinist at BJ. But something has happened. In this position, I have been, for whatever reasons, as we have sought associations with this group and that group for academic reasons and for fellowship reasons, I have been forced to be in these environments. And I must say, these people that once I was suspicious of, and people that were once suspicious of me because of my being a Free Presbyterian, those walls of suspicion are falling down. Mr. Breen can testify some of the meetings we go to in the summer with other institutions. They receive us as friends. They know what we are. They know what we are. They don't come to us and say, you're not really a Calvinist. They know I'm a Calvinist. And they know I'm Reformed. And I know they're not. Although it is funny, I think I told this story the first time I went to one of these meetings. They heard I was there and had all these guys coming to me surreptitiously, confessing how many points they held. I hold 4 points, but don't tell my president. You know, four and a half or five and whatever, and all kinds of numbers. Well, you know, that's good. They know what I am. There's been no compromise in our position. But I was reading the other day in the statement of purpose that we have. If you go over in the wall there, and I think most of you now have available the Book of Order. If you look at the statement of purpose and read through the statement of purpose, not of the seminary, but those statements of purpose there that reflect the agenda of the Free Presbyterian Church in North America. I forget what item it is, item I maybe, but it says this, that it is the purpose of the Free Church to stimulate fellowship with Bible-believing men and churches who are separated under the gospel of God. That is a stated purpose of our denomination. To stimulate fellowship, not with just Reformed people, not with just Calvinist people, but with Bible-believing separatists. That is a stated purpose, I say, of our denomination. And in the providence of God, and in the goodness of God, the seminary has been used to me in a remarkable way to stimulate this fellowship. And I have developed friends that I thought I would never have in this world, that I would count as good friends, that I can fellowship with not only as friends, but we fellowship together in the gospel. We don't agree on everything. But that's good. That is what the Free Church is all about. What it's always been about. And I thank the Lord that in His providence, He's given the ministry, at least part of the ministry of the seminary, to help advance at least that part of our statement of purpose. Why are we here? Helps to expose our denomination. So that's part of our place. But not only do we have a place in terms of the presbytery, but we have a relationship here specifically to this local assembly. And I would submit that our being here in Faith Free Presbyterian Church is an essential component to keeping us in our place. Too often, even Presbyterian seminaries have become entities to themselves, operating in isolation, so serving the church, but yet in such isolation from the church that they do whatever they want, and then that's what is fed into the church. It is the wisdom of the presbytery, the wisdom from the very beginning that this seminary, now Geneva Reformed, the theological hall as it was birthed those years ago, functions directly in connection with this church ministry. And Faith Free Presbyterian Church has a distinct, and it has a vital ministry in constantly monitoring the pulse of this seminary. It's an important ministry. And I welcome your observations. I welcome your concerns. I welcome your suggestions. The seminary being here puts this congregation really in a very distinct place of responsibility, and I think a privilege as well. First, the presence of the seminary here that gives this congregation the opportunity to become intimate really with the rest of the denomination. You see these men that one day are going to go out. You've seen something of them. You know them. It was part of the fulfillment. The fact that the seminary is here. What was then the theological hall under the leadership of Dr. Kerr? Then under Dr. Allison. Now myself. I think it is part of the fulfillment of prayers that were prayed. What really used to be a passionate prayer in this congregation. It used to be a passionate prayer of this congregation that God would make this church a mother of churches. That used to be. And I hate that I'm saying that it used to be the passionate prayer of this church that God would make this church a mother of churches. I trust that we can regain that passion. I've stressed to the students that they are living here in a fishbowl. Nobody likes that. But I want them observed. The text that Mr. Brame read this evening that I challenged the students with on Monday closes with that motive that the Authorized Version translates that. What was it? That your profiting may appear to all. That your advance, that your progress may be evident. You must be looking at the advancing and the progressing of these men. I want you to look at them. I want you to examine them. They are here for your examination, for your prayers, for your concerns. This is the next wave of ministers. And the seminary being here is a part of a single complex ministry that this church has. We aren't competing entities. Seminary is not in competition with anything in this church. We are a part of this church, a vital part of the operation of this church. I remember, when was it? I saw these commercials when the Greenville Hospital System was advertising that they were going to become now a teaching hospital. Remember that when it happened? I guess it is now. And all of the ads and all of the publicity, Greenville Hospital System is now going to be a teaching hospital. And what they were touting, therefore, is that we are going to be a far better hospital to meet your needs because we're a teaching hospital. Well, I got to thinking there's a connection there, maybe. The Lord has made this a teaching church. Seminary is the ministry of the denomination, but in the providence of God, we have to be someplace, and God has put us here. This is a teaching church. And rather than being a hindrance to the church, its presence ought to make this a better church. If that analogy holds true. Maybe it doesn't. I think it does. But we are here in this place. And it is part of the responsibility of this congregation to help keep us in our place. For there, unfortunately, is a very serious danger associated with seminaries. May the presbytery keep us right. May this church keep us right. May the Spirit of God keep us right. That's the place. Very quickly, let me say something about what I see to be the purpose of the seminary. as to prepare men, obviously, for the ministry, to cultivate the God-given gifts that the Lord has given these men. We can't dispense gifts. We can't call men. All we can do is to take the men that God has engifted, the men that God has called, and do what we can to hone their skills to cultivate the gifts that the Lord has given. These men have to go out to feed the flock, to be able to edify the body. These men have to go out to defend the flock against heresy, against false teaching. They have to defend the gospel, preach the gospel. It's our job to give them the mechanical skills, the academic skills, the practical skills in how to do those things. But in doing that, it is our desire, and it's my constant prayer, and we emphasize this to the students a great deal on Monday, that we want to do all that can be done to kindle their passion, to kindle their passion for the Lord, to kindle their passion for Christ, for the gospel. But there must be knowledge along with that passion. And I want to fuse that passion and that knowledge with humility. I'm not sure which is worse. Intellectual pride or spiritual pride. It's a danger. There's a danger of pride, of always being right. Now, I have to fight that all the time. There's pride of always being right. But seriously, you understand what I'm saying. There must be a humility. For knowledge that breeds arrogance is a dangerous thing, and I want nothing of it. And I don't want to do anything to foster that kind of academic knowledge. I want there to be that humility. I want there to be that passion. And you pray that these men, along with their knowledge, would maintain that passion. But it's not one or the other. It's not one or the other. There needs to be precision. I want precision in how these men handle the Word of God. That's where the authority comes. I want them to be able to stand behind the pulpits that God will give them and put their finger on the text of that Bible and declare to men, this is what God says. That's the authority. I want precision in the handling of truth. And passion, the declaration of that truth. And it doesn't have to be one or the other. Again, if you think of I don't want to entrust my body. I don't want to entrust my body to a surgeon who never did particularly good in anatomy. You know, here's a surgeon, right? And he says, I love the surgery part. I like to get my hands in there. But I was never really good at anatomy. I know about where that appendix is. I'll find it. I want precision. I want a surgeon that loves to feel the stuff. I don't mind that. But knows where it is and how to handle it. At the same time, I don't want to entrust my soul, my spiritual welfare, to a preacher that is crude in the way he handles truth. I want precision. I want authority. So we try to teach that while we maintain the passion. So you pray. And that really is the prayer. And I close just with those matters for prayer. Very simply, the Lord would help us to fulfill the mission that He's given to us. We need students. And again, as I've emphasized before, not for the sake of my job or it's not my concern ultimately. But it's for the welfare of the church. Again, whether we like it or not, how goes the seminary, goes the church. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, I shared my heart with you from Matthew chapter 9. The conviction that the Lord had placed upon my own heart in that very direct and simple prayer that Christ had set down, pray, the Lord of the harvest. Pray, the harvest is plenteous. What a prospect is there? I'm not going to preach the message again. But the prospect is there, but the laborers are few. Now, what's the solution between the plenteous harvest that is there and the fewness of laborers? We simply pray that God will send them forth. Let's do that. That's part of that passion that I want this church to have again. Praying that God would make us a mother of churches, that God would raise up men. There's the field. There's the field. There's plenty of field out there for us Free Presbyterians. There's plenty of field out there for my Baptist students. There's plenty of field out there for us all. Let's pray that God would raise up men, that God would send forth the laborers. Can that be our passion? Can you join with me in that prayer, that the Lord would raise up men for the welfare of the cause of Christ, for the advancing of His kingdom? That this year would be a spiritually profitable year for these students. That we would get done what we need to get done. That they would know what it is to mature in the faith. Pray for Mr. Brame as he seeks to finish his program. It's imperative. Pray that the Lord will give him grace. Give him the energy. Give him the time to do what he has to do. But pray. It's part of the ministry. We have other needs that are ongoing, and I'll not set them forth this evening. I've spoken too long already. But pray for us. Pray for us. Let me share with you before I introduce the students and we'll close what I take to be a great promise that the Lord gave me last week is in my office again, feeling sorry for myself. Looking at all the promises that I believe the Lord has given to me concerning this ministry, that in His wisdom I have not yet seen fulfilled. But I believe our promises. My reading last week was in Isaiah. I came to the last chapter. And this statement of the Lord, question that the Lord raises, struck me and blessed my heart at that time. The Lord says, shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Simple question. This thought struck me there very simply, and I say this only by hearsay, obviously. But you can't stay pregnant forever. You really can't. And the Lord is saying here that if I have brought conception, there will be birth. Boil it down, what I've started, I will complete. What I have brought into existence, I will bring to completion. And I wrote in the margin of my other Bible, hallelujah, applies to Faith Free Presbyterian Church, applies to our denomination, applies to our seminary. Has God brought this place into existence? Is God responsible for establishing the Free Church in North America? I believe that He is. If He has, His promise is that He is going to bring it forth. The promises that we have to be fulfilled. And I pray that the Lord would remember the word upon which He has caused this His servant to hope. Let me introduce the students. You pray for them. I'll just have them stand quickly here. They're scattered various places. Vicente Alcivar, so you stand. Second year student from Florida Metropolitan University, from our Orlando church. Zente is under care. Pray for Presente. Ben Arnold, BJ grad, also from the Orlando Church, under care, third year student. Jason Boyle, Jason, member of this congregation, under care, graduate of Bob Jones University. Lance Collins, he started with us last January. This is his first full year with us, graduate of Bob Jones. Kevin Hussey, member of our New Hampshire congregation, graduate of Plymouth State College. Matthew Sims, Matthew joining us this term, first year student, graduate of Bob Jones University. Marshall Watkins in his third year from Gardner Webb. And Richard Winston in his second full year with us from Bob Jones University. It's our little student body. Eight men we have. Pray for these men. They have great responsibilities. They all work. They all are paying for their education. It's not free here, not even for those under care. They have their tuition they have to take care of. They have their families they have to support. They have their school. They have their ministries. You pray that the Lord would meet their needs. The Lord would make them men of God. Commit them to you. Pray for them. Pray for those of us that teach them. Not only those of us in residence, but those that will be coming on an adjunct basis later on in the year. The Lord would use us for His glory. Again, I appreciate the support and the interest that this church has. And I trust that you will have that increased burden in your own heart to see the importance that you have in this ministry. It's all part of one large cause. May God bless us. Well, let's pray. Stand together and we'll ask the Lord's blessing. And if possible, just after the meeting, if all of the wives of the students that are here could very quickly meet with my wife back in the Sunday school room, Mr. Carper's room, just for a few moments right after we close. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do pray your blessing upon this ministry. We're thankful for every token of good, every evidence of your faithfulness. But Lord, how we long for the outpouring of your Spirit. How we long, Lord, for the full demonstration of every promise that you've given to us. And we would ask, O Lord, that that which you have started, you will bring to completion. That you would bring this which you have conceived into its full birth. Lord, use us. Have your hand upon these men. Consecrate them for the ministry that you have for them in the days to come. We commit this entire ministry to your hands for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.